Liz Z, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Liz. Welcome.
Nice. It's been, what, 3.5 years since I've been in an in-person meeting, so it's lovely to be with you all. So I relate to so much of what everybody else has said. It feels redundant to say it again, but my story, I believe that I was born a compulsive eater and had an abnormal response to food from the very beginning. And when I was in my, 1988, I believe, was the first OA meeting that I went to, because I realized that I was so abnormal with the things that I did with food that it just, in my view, my life was perfect, except that I had this weird little funky thing that I did with food and everything, where I just couldn't stop when I started. Like, there was no off switch, whatever. So I was in and out of OA for many years, doing what I thought was a program, but now I kind of see it as a la carte. I was, picking and choosing, kind of doing some half measures and thinking that I was doing a real thing, but as the disease does, it progressed even while I was in the rooms, and I realized that I needed a format with some more structure. So I started going to an OA How meeting and getting rigorously honest with my food and with my program, and started really working the steps and using the tools every single day. And wouldn't you know, when I put the food down, then what was underneath the food started to emerge, things that I really had no idea was in there. Like I said, life was perfect except this little funky thing with food, so once I have that handled, then I will be everything that anybody could dream of. But I love what you were saying, Elizabeth, about the persona. That here's the me that you get to see. But so anyway, once I really put down the food, I lost 55 pounds and have kept that off for the last 4 years, and that's down 90 from my top known weight, though who knows what, because I didn't ever weigh myself. But as I started really working the steps, I realized what my real issue was that I was trying to run the show. And I, you never could have accused me of that, because I was so kind about it and so nice about it and so accommodating. But really, it was my version of self-will run riot. And that I really thought, like Howard said, that all of you were the problem. Like, life circumstances, other people's circumstances were the problem. And if only I could manage the circumstances, then I would be okay. And, come to find out, really working the steps and doing the program, it's like, my problem is right here in between, inside. It's in my thinking. So, I worked the steps 4 through 9, went through that, cleaned up a lot of stuff, felt that wonderful freedom from food compulsion, which I still enjoy now, that position of neutrality where the food just doesn't call to me. It truly has become nutrition and not my solution to everything. And so now the continuing to work. So I do, as part of my program, do a 10-step inventory every day, looking for those things that others have talked about, for how was I selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and I was scrupulously honest about everything, like to do with you. Like if you, if you gave too much change. But then the dishonesty inside of myself, and that has been such a telling thing when I look every day at the dishonesty, mm-hmm. and I'm looking at the dishonesty in my thinking. Like my actions are okay, but the dishonesty in my thinking, there is always something there. So just doing that daily inventory of really looking and so kind of the first sweep of that 4 through 9 was a lot about family things and interpersonal things, cleaning up a lot of that. And then a couple of years into abstinence, then I kept having the same things come up again and again in my inventory, and my ever so wise sponsor said, well, maybe you should do a resentment sheet on that, on some of these things that are showing up. And so I went into another steps 4 through 9, particularly around people at work. And there was a very different dynamic there because I was a manager for a lot of people at work. So it wasn't like a partner or a family member or something like that, that there was, you know, it was different dynamics. And I got to see, thank you, I got to see how much of my ego was involved with my work, and what other people did, I thought, reflected on me. If somebody resigns a position, it was like a personal affront, you know, just everything was about me. But so that process of working through that and doing another set of amends just really brought me to realizing how much I needed to learn living amends. Like how I need to relate differently to people. I need to live life differently, and how do I do that? And the last time I went through step 6 and 7, someone pointed me in the direction of a 6-step worksheet. And one of the things in the worksheet was making a chart. You make a chart where one column is your character defects. And then you look at each character defect and say, what does this character defect do for me? Like, if this, you know, these character defects are functional. They're doing something. What is it doing for me? And then what does it do to me? What's the cost of that? But the last column was most powerful to me, is what is a contrary action? Like, what is a different way that I can live? And I put that into my 10th step format, that when I'm looking for all my character defects, I'm also looking for those contrary actions and remembering what I should be doing instead. And I'm a little slow learner, but over the years of looking every day at what are those, how should I react, you know, how could I do better, that I've slowly learned. Like when I'm driving and somebody does something and I start taking their moral inventory about, you know, what it means, and thank you, and assumptions about them, that my quickest way back to center is the bless them, change me prayer, which I just love. It's like, and if I say that even just a few times, it's back to, anyway. So things like that. So in the 12th step, it says, live these principles, you know, seek to know God's will for us and to do that. And I'm a perfectionist. I always wanted to know, like, what is God's will? Like, what yeah. does God want me to do right here, right now? You know, fix the stove or replace it. And so at one time in my meditation, I'm thinking about this, and it's like, you know, it's not about the stove or not. It's about how I treat people. You know, and I'm looking in the wrong place. So how do I know how to treat people? Well, that is all over the big book in, you know, the love, tolerance, kindliness. That's how we treat people. In the 11th step prayer, how do I show up for people? Where there's hatred, love. Where there's discord, harmony. And that's not just talking about how I react to you, but how do I react to me when I get into a place of hatred and discord and stuff? I need to bring that harmony, that spirit of forgiveness, those things that are in the 10th step prayers. And that was just such a shift for me to this new foundation of understanding, because I was looking for the right answer to each situation. And instead, I found a foundation of spiritual principles that always apply. So no matter what the situation, when I'm faced, you know, with something going on, I can always, you know, go to those spiritual principles and know that that is God's will. That is God's will for how I react in the life, is to live by those spiritual principles. And I love that our theme, you know, that the title of our conference is The Attitude of Gratitude, because I feel like that an attitude of gratitude is the greatest tool for me for getting through life, because no matter what is on my resentment list, my hubby left dishes on the counter again, you know, in my gratitude list, I can be really grateful that I have a life partner, you know, that is engaged with me, and that thing that what I focus on grows, what I nurture and pay attention to grows. So all my life, it's been the negative things. It's the list of ills. It's it's all my complaints about life that I have focused on. And when I focus on gratitude, then that's more of what I get, is an appreciation for all of the blessings in my life. And I love that within that gratitude is humility and acceptance, because my main issue is that I think I know what's best for me or for others or for anything else. And that switching that gratitude just reminds me that my higher power knows best. And this thing that's happening, I might not be enjoying it. This might not be how I wanted life to go today. And in the long run, it might be exactly what I need.